This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Richard, we'll start with the football news before we get into the basketball side of things. Jacoby Criswell expected to transfer, according to several reports. What did you make of maybe the news that broke yesterday in regards to one of Arkansas's backup quarterbacks?
Well, I think, you know, after the spring that Taylen Green had, I think you kind of know the pecking order, and Jacoby obviously has, you know, been patient trying to get on the field, you know, North Carolina and in Arkansas, so it's not that surprising. All I can say, he's one of the finest young men I've come across, and I wish him the best. I really do. I mean, if you have an opportunity just talk to him for a few minutes, you're a fan of him.
Also, Isaiah Gustav, the other name. This happened relatively quick after the spring game. I chalked it up to maybe him being the third or fourth string back. Can you give us any insight on why you maybe think he is elected to enter the transfer portal?
Well, I really haven't been able to, with basketball and everything going on, really haven't dived into it, but I wouldn't shock me that he might be going to TCU, but at the same time, I don't know that for sure. Obviously, Jimmy Smith recruited him, and you know, you look at the roster of running backs; it's pretty impressive, pretty deep. So, you know, again, he might be wanting to be you know, the guy, and right now, doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Yeah. Any other players you're expecting to read a note from or a social media post soon that you think will be leaving the football team and headed to the portal?
Man, I'm going to tell you, there's not a lot of guys that I've you know, thought that, you know, well, this is a guy that I know for sure that would leave. I think I don't have a great answer for you, to be honest with you. I thought that, you know, the guys that left in, you know, after the season kind of were, you know, the guys that you kind of thought that they may leave. But you know, there's always a surprise. You just, you know, if you're Coach Pittman and staff, obviously you don't want a guy that is a big contributor. You're expecting to be a big contributor next fall. So, with NIL and just everything, the way college football and college athletics is set up right now, nothing is shocking.
So after you got to see the game on, or the practice, the scrimmage on Saturday, any area that jumps out to you that, hey, I expect Arkansas to be active in the portal in these areas of the team?
I think that, you know, obviously they hosted Branson Hickman, the offensive lineman from SMU, earlier this spring, and he should be making a decision, I think, next Monday. I think if they get him, and they may try to get an offensive tackle, then I think you do need to try to maybe get another inside guy on the other side of the line of scrimmage, one or two of those guys, and continue to add depth there, and hopefully get a difference maker. And I think linebacker may be another position. But, I mean, at the same time, if you see a guy that you think could make a difference at any position, even though you feel pretty good about that particular position, you go for it. So, I think those are the three that would stand out to me. But at the same time, a can't-miss type guy, you go ahead and take.
Richard Davenport with us on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Artie, I think people have a misconception about the portal. It officially opens today, so everyone, with the exception, I guess grad transfers don't apply here, but a lot of the guys that are undergrads have planned to enter today, but it officially they can actually enter today, correct?
Correct.
And then to go off that, you mentioned what maybe some plans this week. I mean, you got basketball, you got football to keep up with. Who do you think is going to be more active in this upcoming cycle? Is it Cal or Pittman?
No, I think it's going to be Cal. I mean, he's got 12 more spots to fill. And it's going to be interesting. It really is, because that, I mean, he is without a doubt the most successful coach in college basketball as far as recruiting high level talent. And when, you know, he makes that call to somebody and he's interested, it's kind of hard not to take a look at him because of all the NBA guys that he sent to, you know, to the league. I mean, all the guys that he sent to the league. So I just tend to think that he's gonna have a busy few weeks and maybe go beyond that. But at the same time, I think because of his resume, you know, these 12 spots may be filled a little quicker than what you know, most other schools would fill up 12 spots. But you know, obviously we don't know that for sure. So time will tell. But I tend to think that we're gonna be seeing a lot of activity with Coach Cal and visits.
Richard, you saw the activity yesterday with Big Z committing to this Arkansas basketball program. If I had
what's that first name? What's that first name?
Say it one more time, Christian.
Zvonimir Avisic.
I just had to do that, man. I'm calling him Big Z too.
I'm like Cal. I got to call him Big Z. But that was the first addition, first domino to fall for this. If I set the over under at 7 Kentucky former players and former commits. 4 guys have decommitted of their 6-person class already. Still waiting on the fence about one guy. I think a Kentucky kid's going to ultimately stay. But if I set the over-under at 7, it's already down to 6 for Arkansas. Does Cal go over Kentucky commits and former players that join him in Fayetteville?
Well, that's a good question. I've been thinking about that too. I mean, I was thinking the signees, most of them follow him, and then, 3 or 4 guys from the portal, or 2 guys or whatever from the portal join him. Because I've been thinking, boy, it's much easier. Say if you have 7 and then you only have 6 more spots, and then obviously you got to do that with the portal, unless there's some late, 24 guys that you could get on. So I think that's a good that's a good number, and I think Saracen or Oakland or whoever should consult with you, because I think that would get a lot of action.
Here's my math on this. So you got 1 in Big Z who's already committed. Carter Knox has Chicken Man in his bio. So I'm going to count him as two. Boogie Fland, I think there's a good chance that's three. Then you got Jaden Quintance, or Quintance, however you say his name, who has already got out his national letter of intent. That's four to me. Then you've got a couple other guys that, like probably three or four guys that I'm thinking, I could definitely see them coming to Fayetteville and joining him. You're not going to get Dillingham. He's going to go to the draft. You're not going to get Reed Shepard, but I really do think that is an accurate number, or at least close. That could get some action both ways. And last thing, Richard, and maybe you don't have his where, but like he was just at the Nike Hoop Summit. Is he on the recruiting trail? Is he going back to Lexington to move? Like, any idea where Cal is right now?
Well, from what I gather, he arrived back in Fayetteville Sunday. Now, has he been, has he left since then? I don't know. I tend to think he's probably still in Fayetteville, and they're probably lining up visits. And so I don't have a great answer for you on that, but I tend to think he's still in Fayetteville, but I don't know for sure.
Well, he's either in Fayetteville or he's on the recruiting trail based on yesterday and based on some other things that you may be hearing through the grapevine. There is news to come this week, so I know you're going to be very busy. Richard, we appreciate your time this morning. Appreciate you moving up a day early, and we will chat next week.
All right, man. We'll see you guys.
I think it's really interesting what is going on, and I think more dominoes will fall. I think maybe you had four or five players maybe by the time Friday's over, Saturday's over, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite half your roster, third to half, something like that.
Be nice. And then
it'll start snowballing.
Yeah.
I want to go play with those guys.
And that's the other thing. So you think about, it's not just about high caliber coaches. It's not just about money. It's also about, hey, who do I get to play with? Who do I get to join up with on this roster? So I mentioned some players there. Big Z is already committed to the University of Arkansas. Just to kind of roll through some of the high caliber players that may or may not end up in Fayetteville, I think Boogie Fland, who's a New Jersey kid, I think he ultimately ends up in Fayetteville. He's a five-star combo guard. I think that there's a good chance that you get, what's that kid's name? Adu Thierro, who's more of a glue guy on this roster. And then also Jaden Quintance is another guy they look at. Billy Richmond is a recruit that, I mean, there's a lot of guessing right now when you see people, well, sources this, sources that. I mean, just because a kid gets out of his national letter intent doesn't mean he's just beelining for Fayetteville. But you put two and two together, there's a good chance that might happen. All right, before we get into our CJ's Butcher Boy Burger Trivia Tuesday, let's talk to JR on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. JR, welcome into the program, man.
Morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. I got a real quick question for you. Talking to some of my friends and stuff, and we're still trying to sort through all this, the portal on the NIL deal, but the question I have is this right here. According to last year, Bobby Petrino, when he was at Texas A&M, in the interview said he had no idea, what NIL money the players were getting. And I think Sam Pittman was asked about that with KJ, and he basically gave the same answer. So my question is this. What is in place that sets the benchmark? If the coaches don't know what the kids are getting, who's in charge of distributing that money and deciding who's worth what when it comes to that distribution?
I bet they know. I bet that's coach speak, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm of the opinion that they know, maybe not the exact figure, Tommy, but at least around.
Well, I think they know the marketplace.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but JR's question is, your question's good, is in professional sports, we're used to, publicized contracts, more transparent process, and you can set a marketplace based on player A gets this, so player B should get a little less or a little more based on, what you think of them. And that's the problem, is everything's behind a veil of secrecy. I don't know how we're going to change that until we get a players association, players union, whatever you want to label it, where you can collectively bargain this. I mean, it's just completely backwards how, compared to a normal business model, how we're running this thing. And until we get some practical business sense applied to this from both sides, in a deal that's fair for the players and the schools, we're going to continue to scratch our head over what are we doing here? No one would run a business the way this thing's being run right now. Nobody.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, part of the problem why you've had a big lack in not just Arkansas and other places, a big money like, you know, well, we'll just use John Tyson and Warren Stevens as an example. Now, they came into the fold. Why? Because of Coach Cal. But I don't think the big checks are going to follow, the big donors are going to follow till they look at this thing and say, all right, this makes sense. Because you don't throw good money after bad, is the old phrase. And I think any businessman, any businesswoman with any sense at all looks at what's going on with NIL and says, hard pass. Because it doesn't make business sense, the basic structure of what we're doing. And I think when college sports figures that out and then the players figure out, yeah, we need some structure in order to, you know, grow the pot, I think it will grow. But would you throw your money into this? Obviously, there's been a struggle because anyone with that can fog a mirror can look at this and say, this doesn't look right to me.
I'd throw money into it if I knew for a fact that it was going to turn into postseason success. But that's the thing. Like, you'll invest in something that you know the return on your investment is going to come through for you. And for
sign me up for a sure thing. Absolutely. I'm in for a sure thing every time.
But it's you invest in the stock market, you invest in business.
And there's no such thing as a sure thing. Yeah. I bet on horses. They go off at even money. They're no sure thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you're taking chances in other places. So I understand why people are taking chances in this. I understand why John Tyson, as a giant Razorback fan, is taking chances in this, as is Warren Stevens.
Because but they're betting on Cal. They're betting on Calipari. Yeah, they're not. We like to think they're. And would they get in? You know, Warren Stevens has always been very generous with the Razorbacks. They're going to another level because of the name on the head coaching job.
Yeah, there's no question.
100%. So all I'm saying, you buy a stock, you bet on a horse, you look at the past performances of that horse. Have they run in the last, you know, 1 mile races or what, 6 furlongs, whatever the race is. What kind of competition are they? Up in class, down in class? If you look at a stock, you look at, used to look at PE ratios and you look at earnings, you look at assets, you look at things and you say, does this make sense at this price? The problem with the NIL model is there's so much lack of transparency. There's nothing about it that makes good business sense. And I think that's why you can't get a good business person to put their money behind it. And until the process is cleaned up, I don't think the big money's ever going to swoop in. And it's not that you're ever going to invest $1 million and get a championship. I'm not saying that, but I just think the basic principles of how it's run, just there's a lot of friction with people that, you know, have made money and been successful because they know what they're doing. They know what they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when they look at this, because, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the room ever. I look at this and say, nothing about this makes sense.
And yet it's still happening and there's no.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's a fraction of what it could be.
In terms of the transition?
Terms of the money. I'm saying if you got some basic structure and basic business principles in place that people knew about and understood, more people would be willing to put their money in because they look at the structure and they say, okay, this makes a little more sense. There's nothing equitable about player X getting $500,000 and player Y getting $100,000 when, you know, two different, I mean, there's just, and you, mm-hmm. you don't know what to believe in the media reports. There's nothing you can look at that leaves you with any comfort of what you're putting your money into. No one's going to put $100,000 or a grand into NIL and think, well, my return on investment's going to be that extra 5 wins this year and going to the conference championship game.
Mm-hmm.
You know that when you put your money in, but right now it's so Wild West willy-nilly, I'm out. And I think when the sport as a whole figures that out, more people will understand and be willing to put a little more behind it. And the pot will grow for the players and the schools.
All right, it's that time of the morning here on a Tuesday, CJ's Trivia Tuesday.
This is CJ's Trivia Tuesday, presented by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers in Fayetteville and Russellville.
It's delicious.
There must be 50 customers out there. It's unbelievable.
When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best.
All right, it's a pretty easy one for you this morning. Who is another Razorback basketball player with Croatian descent? Played under Nolan Richardson. I am throwing you the softest of softballs. this morning. 877-377-6963. Got to call us. No texts. We always get texts on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. If you want to win the $25 CJ's Butcher Boy Burger, you have to call us. You know this, right? Just off the top of your head?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had a really tight relationship with Nolan Richardson in a lot of ways. Really took him under his wing.
Yeah.
I think not a long list. This is a softball. You're right.
I don't even know if there's another one on there. It's just the one that everyone thinks of when you think it again. Who is another Razorback basketball player that played under Coach Nolan Richardson with Croatian descent? I was curious if Big Z was going to be the first one when he came. I had to look up where he was from, but that is, again, the connection that Arkansas basketball. You have to go back, again, a little bit in regards to this answer, but it is, and I'd be curious. I mean, this person in question, this trivia answer, was just in Fayetteville just a couple years ago for a reunion of some sort. And I think it was a 25, if I remember correctly, I was a senior in college. I want to say it was like the 25 year anniversary of the national championship team, or maybe it was right around there. But yeah, he was just in Fayetteville for this. Again.
What are we doing, Big C? We got somebody?
Yeah.
We don't need a blood sample.
All right, we got JB from Rogers.
All right, JB, what is the answer to our CJ's Trivia Tuesday question this morning? Who is the other Razorback player with Croatian descent?
Big.
JB.
Hello.
JB, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, who is the other? What is the answer to our CJ's Butcher Boy Burger Trivia question?
Thanks, guys. Great show. That would be DeVore Remock.
That is correct. DeVore Remock.
DeVore with more.
Go out there, is always there. Football so different in that respect.
Remock's with a pretty turnaround.
The late Paul Eels on the call. You also heard one of the, I think, the JP guys there. But that is, yes, the correct answer to our question. What was the, now again, this is not my heyday. What was the key? You mentioned the tight relationship.
We played at Fayetteville High School, and my memory served me correct. He stayed some with Nolan back in the day, and Nolan really took him under his wing. And because, I mean, it was not as common back then for a player to come from a place like Croatia and land in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So, you know, good player, and one of the, I don't know my history all the way back to, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, if he was the first international player, but he was one of the first we certainly remember.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McClarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Go to BetOnline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
We do have Bruce now, so we can get to it. Bruce Stanton, we were talking before we get to our rankings, Bruce. Most detestable, easiest to hate team in all of sports, pro or professional. Real quick, who would be top of your list as a Tennessee fan?
Alabama football.
I figured you'd go there or Kentucky basketball, one or the other.
That's second.
All right. No, we pretty well had you pegged. We knew there would be one and two in your list. All right, let's get to it. The Pradco Pyramid of Power for this week.
Who are the best baseball teams in the SEC? SEC! Let's find out.
Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
This is the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Oh, what happens at the top this week? First time we've had to deal with a team potentially not being number one, other than the Arkansas Razorbacks. So what happens this week? I'll tell you, I had to move the Hogs down after losing the series. It's narrow. They barely lost on Saturday. But, Bruce, I got Kentucky elevated to number one. They've won five consecutive SEC series this week. This year. It's a huge week for them coming up. They're 13-1 in league play. They've ascended to number three in the D1 baseball poll. I've got Kentucky at the top of the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Well, I've been down Kentucky in the poll all year, so I'm right there with you. They're number one this week.
They've got Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama, Missouri, and Auburn are teams that they have taken the series from. So far, their one loss was to Missouri back earlier in the year. They play Tennessee, maybe the biggest weekend, biggest series of the year so far coming up. You have two top four teams going at number three versus number four. So it's going to be a huge weekend in Lexington. All right, I got big the – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's a big one. Can they stop Tennessee's bats? That'll be the big deal.
Yeah. All right, move the Razorbacks down a slot to number two. You know, some are, I think, wondering if it's all going to unravel and come apart on the Hogs. You know, they lost narrowly on Saturday in extra innings. An error from the pitcher throwing it back to first base provided the winning run for Bama. Bama just dominated Arkansas on Sunday. But Arkansas 30-5, 12-3 in league play, one series loss. I've got Arkansas at number two in the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Yep, totally on the same page.
All right. A&M, maybe you could make the case, should be higher than both of those. I think it's really narrow between one, two, and three. A&M has one series loss. That was to Florida. They've taken care of Auburn, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and now Vanderbilt this past weekend. They take on Alabama this weekend. If they win or sweep that series, it's going to be hard to keep Bama out of one of those top two spots. I got keep A&M out of one of those top two spots. I got A&M at number three.
Yeah, A&M, first two games, aggregate score against Vanderbilt was 24-0.
Mm-hmm.
Their pitch is working. They're swinging the bat. They're looking pretty tough right now.
Yeah, they're peaking at the wrong time is what they're doing. A&M at three. I got Tennessee at four. They're 30-6, 10-5 in league play. Their only series loss is to Alabama. Series wins over Ole Miss, Georgia, Auburn, and LSU. We mentioned earlier the weekend coming up with Kentucky. Huge weekend. I got Tennessee at number four. Where do you have them?
I got them at number four. Right. They're swinging the bat, and it looks like sweeping LSU is the norm now, right?
Yeah, I guess so. LSU is really falling on hard times this year. All right, so we agree. Kentucky 1, Arkansas 2, A&M 3, Tennessee 4. We square up to that point. I got Vanderbilt at 5. Now, they had a rough weekend. Got handled this past weekend. They're 8-7 in league play. They play Florida this weekend, but A&M cleaned their clock, like you mentioned. I've demoted Vanderbilt to 5th in the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Well, I demoted them even further. I actually had Alabama based on the strength of winning 2 out of 3 against number 1 Arkansas. I moved them up to number 5 this week.
Okay, I got Alabama at 6 this week, so we just flip-flopped the last two. Vanderbilt's conference record's 8-7. Bama's is 6-9. That was the my reasoning behind that. But you're right, the impressive series win. You know, we'll see. But when you look at their series wins, Arkansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia are their 4 series wins for Bama. Their only series loss and their 6-9 record is to Kentucky, and they got swept in that series. They have not. Let's see, they did sweep Georgia, but. You know, when you look at Alabama right now, that's kind of where I'm at with Alabama, number 6. And I think this weekend when they take on A&M, they win that series, and then you're going to turn this whole conference kind of upside down in this Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Well, when you look at the D1 baseball poll, top 4 teams are SEC teams, so it's just the cream's rising to the top. Probably already been there all year anyway.
Yeah. So, that's where we get. That's where I. What I have this week: Kentucky, Arkansas, A&M, Tennessee, Vandy, and Bama. My top 6. Bruce and I just flip flop 5 and 6. He's got Alabama 5 and Vanderbilt 6. Ty, where are we right? Where are we wrong in the Pradco Pyramid of Power?
I think the only thing you could possibly change is having A&M above Kentucky. I think Arkansas.
How would you have them above? We got Kentucky at number 1.
So I'm saying have A&M above Kentucky and put Kentucky down in the second tier.
And Arkansas at 3.
You'd have Arkansas. You just flip-flop those two, basically. That's all you do. So I think
Kentucky, you're saying Kentucky at 3 and A&M at 1.
Yes, correct. Okay. That's basically what you just flip-flop them. That's the only argument. Mm. I mean, you can Vanderbilt and Bama, they're interchangeable as, again, Kentucky and Ambit. But I might put A&M. I think that D1 pace baseball poll that you mentioned, one of them, I get confused between the coaches poll and the D1 baseball poll, but one of them had, if not both of them, had A&M.
D1 baseball has A&M 1, Arkansas 2, Kentucky 3, Tennessee 4.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have that on top. So that would be the only thing that that I would say possibly could be
I would
there.
Just say that, you know, you look at A&M's conference record at 11-4 and Kentucky's 13-1. You know.
They'd be better teams, though, I think, if I remember reading that right.
A&M's beaten Auburn, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt, lost to Florida. Kentucky's got Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama, Missouri, and Auburn. So there's a little difference, but not a ton. We'll find out this week about A&M, you know, and Alabama this week. I think we know about A&M based on what they've done, Bruce.
Yes.
I think we do know. I mean, beating, sweeping Vandy and, like you said, dominating those first two games the way they did. South Carolina, Arkansas is going to find out about South Carolina. That's not going to be an easy series. The Razorbacks are there. And let's see, you got 1, 2, I think it's 4 different top 20 matchups this weekend. Tennessee and Kentucky number 4 versus number 3. Arkansas and South Carolina, number 2 versus number 20. A&M and Bama, number 1 versus number 18. So, I mean, you've got a huge amount of top teams playing each other in the bottom kind of plays themselves this weekend. Big separation weekend and weekend number 6 of SEC baseball. So I'm looking
forward I'm looking forward to watching Tennessee and Kentucky. I think that'll go a long way in deciding the East, who comes out of that one with the series win.
Yeah. All right. Still processing, unpacking. I'm not sure how much we got to talk about the John Calipari stuff last week, as really kind of the news was unfolding, the press conference and all of that. As we've had a week to kind of settle in, any additional thoughts or observations from you on the new tenure of John Calipari at Arkansas?
Well, I think all my Kentucky friends are trying to work themselves into a frenzy. Pretty impressive. They sold out Rupp Arena for Mark Pope's introduction. I mean, Cal's got Big Z coming. That's a high-profile transfer coming in through the portal. Plays a lot like Chet Holmgren from the Thunder, 7'2", shoots 3, throws behind-the-back passes. ought to be exciting to see him play for the Razorbacks.
Yeah. Hey, when's that full moon coming up? I know those bass are going to be spawning, and that's always prime time here in April for the fish.
Oh, we're less than 2 weeks away, and just need to have your yumdingers ready. Elder's Magic, Watermelon Red, throw them in the backs of the pockets, and hang on. It's about to get great.
Yeah. Well, where's the water temperature right now? How much more do we need it to come up?
Well, where I've been fishing, a lot on Broken Bow and a lot on Ozark Pool, the river water's in the low 60s. So, you know, we're just 3-4 degrees away from them really busting loose. But, man, it's happening right now.
All right. So get that yumdinger at Walmart, Bass Pro Shops, Academy, LureNet.com, and tackle stores all over the place. It's the yumdinger made by Pradco in what, 3, 4, 5, and 6-inch sizes?
That's it. And I'm running through DFW Airport right now. I got a suitcase full of yumdingers getting ready to go fishing in Alabama.
I wonder what TSA thought about that.
Well, I'm fortunate. Fort Smith, they know me, so they kind of trust that those are fishing lures.
All right. Well, enjoy your trip, and we'll see you next weekend here.
All right. Talk to y'all.
All right. That's Bruce Stan Pradco fishing with us, running through the airport. One thing I'll be doing later today as well. I won't have fishing lures though in my bag, unfortunately.
Yeah, he gave me some for last week, and I guess the only disappointment trip about the disappointing part about Bozeman is we didn't go fishing. I mean,
why not?
The guy I stayed with didn't want to go, and all three others wanted to go.
Then why didn't y'all go?
Because I wasn't gonna go off and do our own thing since he was accommodating us that weekend. But I didn't. His rationale and reasoning didn't make any sense. He's like, well, the snow just melted and we'd have to drive. It's like we're in Bozeman, freaking Montana. Why would we not go? But
that's like a common thing for him. He's probably like kind of sick of
fishing. Yeah, I don't know if he got tired of it or what. But yes, we didn't go. And Bruce gave me these awesome Pradco lures.
Is he like a really good angler? Is he a good? An experienced angler?
He has fish photos and stuff, and he seems to take some...
He just didn't want to mess with trying to...
I guess.
He didn't want to mess with taking Ty. He didn't want to be Ty's fishing guide that day. That's what that was all
Clay's
about.
Rod made it back to Arkansas, and I've got the whatever the reel is, I don't know, the cast or whatever it is, but it's back.
This is why his buddy didn't want to go fishing.
He's not.
It's all unfolding right before us right now.
He's a fake.
It's very clear.
He's city too. He's a fake country boy. He tries that country. He's not that good. But
because you go fishing, you don't have to be country to go fishing.
Well, there's people out there, and everyone knows who I'm talking about that pretend. And just to be clear, this is not a Clay Henry. I don't want people assuming that I'm talking about Clay here. That try and act countryer than they are. And or try to do things to
Who's
make
talking
them
about big city?
Try to make them Clay. More than like, again. That's not a shot at Clay.
He was saying that during the break. He said, "Wait till you hear what I'm going to say about Clay in the next segment."
It's not again. I want to reiterate that it's not a shot at Clay Henry, Becca, Sarah, Jean Ann. It's not a shot at your
you're
dad.
Not coming over for dinner again.
I wasn't invited to begin with, but I'm just talking about within the friend group, someone you know that tries to say they love
in our
fishing.
Group.
Just in general, the proverbial in the friend group, in the we or whatever. You have someone like that. Surely you're looking at me like you're telling me you don't have someone that tries to act like they're more country than they are. We all have someone in our friend group.
Only
that
one
acts
I
like
know.
That.
Some just one guy that talks about baling hay in the summers and all the time he spent on his family farm. You know, that goes fishing once a year in Montana. That's the only guy I know.
Didn't even go fishing this year.
And then didn't go fishing.
Again, the only bad part of the trip. Broke 100.
So you went out there
an
and you drug golf clubs out there. Clay's, you drug a fishing rod out and there. And then you didn't even go.
No, we explored. We just didn't fish.
Did you have to pay to take all that stuff? Or
Southwest, it's the two-bag thing. So,
yeah.
No, it was nice. I do like flying Southwest with the exception of lining up in line for the...
Yeah, I flew Southwest this weekend. I know what you mean.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Talking about Jacoby Criswell entering the transfer portal. The Arkansas Morrilton native, again, started his career in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, transferred to Arkansas. Hasn't officially come down the pipe, it sounds like, just yet, but plans to enter it. And Arkansas now possibly having to deal with less quarterback depth overall. Thought there was a chance of this happening. I'm going to be honest, I was taken aback when he wasn't the presumed number two quarterback. I thought, Taylor Green was going to be the starter, but I just assumed, Jacoby will be two. Well, apparently it's going to be either Malachi Singleton or KJ Jackson, it sounds like. And KJ Jackson making quite an impression as a true freshman from Montgomery, Alabama. And so we'll see what comes out in the next day or so about Criswell and his future here in Fayetteville, if at all.
What was it Chuck said, I think it was last Thursday? KJ Jackson is the real deal. So I think I'm interested to see him play more in higher leverage spots, but I'm not concerned. I'm not overwhelmingly concerned that there's not enough quarterback depth. You hate it for an Arkansas kid who left the state because there wasn't a spot, comes back thinking there is a spot. Now we'll see where he ends up. But, good kid from Morrilton, played for a great high school coach and Cody McNabb, and you just hope he lands in a place where he can get a lot of snaps.
Yep. So we will keep you updated right here on the Morning Rush, as well as Halftime and Ruskin and Zach on Jacoby Criswell's status. Do know the status of Big Z. He's coming to Fayetteville.
Oh, Big Z behind the back to Reeves. Whoa!
Keep an eye on Z. He's a face-up guy, can knock in jump shots.
Big Z for three. Are you kidding me? Unreal.
First commitment for John Calipari in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Zonimir Visic. I think I said it worse than I did about 45 minutes ago. But that is the first guy to commit, not signed, I don't think, just yet. They'll probably announce that within the coming week or so. We'll see what other Kentucky players. You've got Kentucky commits that have gotten out of their national letter of intent. You've gotten former Kentucky Wildcats that have entered the transfer portal. I don't know how many Mark Pope is going to be able to retain in Lexington, Kentucky. I would say a lot more of a chance that they end up in Fayetteville, Arkansas. But it's Cal's army, and he's building up his cavalry as we speak.
Well, and you hope the snowball starts rolling downhill, that as you get more prized recruits and players that other players want to play with, and trying to build a roster that looks like a championship roster, that players see what's going on and everybody wants to be around the hot thing, what's going on right now, the cool thing. I think Arkansas's become that. So we'll see. Hopefully by the end of the week or over the weekend, that snowball really starts rolling down the slope here a little bit.
You got Arkansas baseball back in action tonight, Baumwalker Stadium. Dave Van Horn had some comments following the Alabama Game 3 loss, what he thought about Texas Tech. Take a listen.
I just want to play good. I think it's great that we're playing good. Team with a Power 5 team, big name, a lot of tradition. I think it's probably the best thing that could happen to us after losing two straight. We get to, we got to play good. We're going to play good or we'll get beat again. And I think it's good for this team. They need to play good.
ESPN2 is the television channel that you can watch your Arkansas Razorback baseball team tonight. Not the number one team in the country. That was taken by the Texas A&M Aggies in a couple polls, but still a matchup that you want to keep an eye on or listen to right here on ESPN Arkansas, most of these stations, as well as hitthatline.com and our brand new Hit That Line Now app. So tonight it's at 7 o'clock, and then the other game is tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Tonight on ESPN2, tomorrow on the SEC Network is the setup for the Texas Tech Red Raiders and the Arkansas Razorbacks the next 2 days.
Yeah, and good midweek test. He talked about the players getting a chance in the rotation. You're running out of chances in midweek for guys that are trying to crack this lineup, and right now he's looking for bats. He's looking to inject some offense, and Texas Tech provides that kind of of tests. That, I mean, Texas Tech's the kind of team you could easily see in a regional.
Ben Bibee. So,
it's a good chance for people right here to earn some playing time.
Yep, he's on the mound for you tonight in the matchup with the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Gymnastics team is going to get a send-off in about 45 minutes from the Lewis Center as they head to their next competition. I'm forgetting. I had it written down. It's what, Nationals? I want to make sure I had that right. How to say it? Nationals?
Say that
gymnastics
again.
Team. Bixie, help me out there. I think
the
you might
have sounds right. The Elite okay. Eight. Yeah, it's the Elite Eight, the final eight teams. It's kind of like Division II does basketball and like you do College World Series with the final eight teams. You got the final eight teams in the Nationals, or the Elite Eight, as they call it in some circles.
Last thing here, I saw that former Arkansas Razorback and former Springdale High School and McGee, Arkansas native Markeisha Davis was drafted by the, I think it's the New York Liberty last night at number 11. Of course, Caitlin Clark goes number one. I'm going to watch the... I think it's the Indiana Fever versus the Chicago team because Angel Reese went to Chicago. I will actually watch that game this year. That's probably the only Indiana. I don't think I've ever watched from start to finish a WNBA game, but I will watch that matchup this year.
Okay. I mean, I'll see what she does. I mean, will people still be as interested in moving forward? There will probably be some matchups like that, but I think this, I'll be interested to see if women's college basketball can sustain this spike, not at the levels of the ratings they've had, but they're going to have to develop more personalities and stars because they've went to a new level. Can they sustain that? We'll see if this injection of personalities in the WNBA boosts their product because they've really flatlined so far.
I wonder
in general interest.
A lot of women are going to try to model their game after Caitlin Clark to try to be that next Caitlin Clark.
Model it in what way? I mean,
shoot from anywhere.
Because she can make them. I mean, she's just a elite shooter. I mean, you can model your game after somebody, but if you don't have the talent or the skill to put it in the hole, then...
She did it after Steph Curry, and a lot of basketball players have done that. We got to mention, the women's basketball national championship railed the men's in terms of just railed it. And first off...
It was a Sunday afternoon versus a Monday night.
Yeah, but it's idiotic.
But nonetheless.
It's idiotic to start the game at 9:20 Eastern time. I said it before it happened. I said it after. It's just dumb. Whoever's the executive that cleared that's an idiot. Well, and
it's been
to
that
be
way
fired.
Forever, though.
Not. I don't think it's 9:20.
The men's national championship game?
I don't think it's been. I think it's
always been Monday night at around 8 o'clock.
I thought it was like 7:20 typically. Well, either way, I don't think that's ever happened
before.
Well,
hang on. Now, you're correct.
Yeah.
You were in what time zone? You were all the way out in Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah.
I guess you could have started it earlier, but, got to make it. I mean, because let's see. 8:20, 7:20, 5:20 there, right? I mean, you don't want to start the game at local time mid-afternoon. I mean, you want to start the game at 3:30 local on a Monday?
I think they have to in order to get the ratings they want. I think that played out. It's in San Antonio this
You're
next
right.
Year.
It's generally been an hour earlier, but because of where they played this year.
Yeah.
Being that, being out west.
I don't know if San Antonio is far. If it's, I don't think it's mountain time. I think it's still central time. But
that's in Texas.
That's the setup for it, but it's... East or not east, west. I don't know. I get confused on the time zones because Florida has some central time and then has eastern. And I just get confused where the line is for some of these cities.
San Antonio is just South Texas. I mean, just they're all lined down that triangle.
It's the entire state of Texas, not mountain time.
You may get over that panhandle and get there, but 90% of Texas. I mean, maybe all, but I think it may be in New Mexico before it changes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
So I was hoping I could get Clay Henry's approval this past week, and he just texted me, "Did you get to fish?" He's already disappointed in me. I think he's going to be more disappointed,
just
unfortunately.
Just tell him you did.
I can't lie. It's on air, and it will make its way back to him. So I will inform him more tomorrow.
Just take
tomorrow.
That software we got and just Photoshop.
AI it.
AI a big, I mean, like a massive, you know, brown trout right in there. And yeah, say Clay, the fly rod was the and your flies were the key to the whole thing. Did he give you some of his flies to take?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, just AI, just Photoshop one of them. About an 8-pound. Don't make it too unrealistic, but find out what Clay's biggest catch ever is and go just a little bit larger.
I can hear him now. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Yeah. I bet you at this time tomorrow I'll probably hear that same thing. Yeah.
This is the Lindsay and Associates Pro Hog Update.
Giannis over to Bobby in the corner. We'll take it. Oh, Bobby's got another bucket and another slam.
Whether you're listing, selling, or leasing, Lindsay and Associates can handle all your real estate needs. Go to Lindsay.com to search all the current real estate inventory. At Lindsay and Associates, we bring great neighbors together.
Black didn't want the three. Drives instead and hammers it home.
Well, that young man's aggressive.
Playoffs are about to start in the National Basketball Association, NBA. We've got baseball underway. Christian, what's going on in the world of Hogs after college?
Jalen Williams had 5 points, and Isaiah Joe had 2 points in the Thunder's 135-86 win over the shorthanded Mavericks on Sunday. Luka, Kyrie, and Gafford were among a handful of Mavericks who did not play in that game. However, the Thunder clinched the number one seed in the West.
All right.
Congratulations to Jalen, Isaiah, and the rest of those guys. Got the play-in games coming up, and then we will see who Oklahoma City is playing. They will play, let's see, it's the, I think it's the Warriors or the Kings, or will be their first round matchup. Actually, it's the winner of that versus the Lakers and Pelicans of who ends up being the eighth seed. I kind of want to beat LeBron James, so that would be nice. So congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder and those two Fort Smith Northside Grizzlies and Arkansas Razorbacks.
Moses Moody had 9 points for the Warriors on Sunday in their 123-116 win over Utah. The Warriors will face the Kings tonight in the 9th and 10th place play-in matchup.
Yeah, we'll see if Moses gets some playoff times, getting some time there. I never know with Steve Kerr if he's going to play him or not. I mean, the Warriors, he's a fan favorite, and sometimes he plays a good chunk, other times he doesn't, depending on what the coach does.
Mason Jones played 5 minutes and did not score in the Kings' 121-82 win over Portland on Sunday.
He's with Malik Monk, who's dealing with that MCL sprain. I think they're one of their other guys, hurt her or something, is dealing with a shoulder injury too. So Mason maybe gets some more playing time in the playoffs because of those injuries.
I was happy to see this. Nick Smith had 24 points on Sunday in the Hornets' 120-110 win over the Cavs. He was 9 of 20 from the field and 6 of 11 from 3.
Are they in the playoffs, Big C?
Oh, no.
In Charlotte?
Or
are
the
they
Hornets
bad?
Are not. They're bad.
Okay. Well, that's a good game to end on then.
The Bucks and Magic went head-to-head on Sunday, with the Magic winning big 113-88. Patrick Beverley had 2 points in the loss, and Anthony Black had 5 points in the Magic win.
AB's got a high ceiling for the Orlando Magic. I know that, Tommy, that's where you're going to be. You might see an Anthony Black poster in the next couple days.
Well, I bet I do. Yeah, I got to going down to Florida for a few days, and are they? Oh, well, I should look at the schedule, see if they're around. So. If I got a free night.
I don't know if Orlando is a play. I don't think they're playoff bound either. They're like Charlotte, aren't they?
I think they might be in the play-in
game. Okay. Right.
Something like that. Ricky Council, this is the biggest news, I believe. Ricky Council had 3 points in the 76ers 107-86 win over the Nets. I saw a report where he got a new 4-year deal worth $7.4 million with an additional $864,000 for this season.
Yeah, congratulations to Ricky. By the way, Orlando is in the playoff. They are the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
So maybe,
man.
I don't know if that is if that's by the end of the week, Tommy, but yeah, maybe you get a chance to see him at the end of the week.
There you go.
All right, switching over to MLB, Jalen Beeks, the pitcher for the Colorado Rockies, has a 1-1 win-loss record, 3.86 ERA in 7 innings pitched. He has appeared in 8 games and has 5 strikeouts. Andrew Benintendi for the White Sox in 59 at-bats has 10 hits and 2 RBIs. That's good for a 169 batting average on this young season. Isaiah Campbell, pitcher for the Red Sox, he has a 12.79 ERA in 7 appearances. He's pitched 6 1/3 innings and has 5 strikeouts. Dominique Fletcher for the White Sox has 10 hits and 4 RBIs in 39 at bats. He has a 2.56 batting average. James McCann for the Orioles in 21 at bats, 5 hits and 2 RBIs. His batting average is .238. Drew Smyly, a pitcher for the Cubs, he is a 2-1 win-loss record in a 3.72 ERA in 6 appearances. He's pitched 9 2/3 innings, has 10 strikeouts. Ryan Stanek for the Mariners has a 3.38 ERA in 6 appearances. He's pitched in 5 1/3 innings and has 2 saves with 7 strikeouts. Trevor Stephan, pitcher for the Guardians, has not yet made an appearance this season. Man, that's a lot of pro MLB hogs right there.
That's a good mouthful. You mentioned Andrew Benintendi. You were talking about Bet-Saracen odds earlier, Tommy. What are the odds that Hagen Smith joins both Andrew Benintendi and Kevin Copps as the third Golden Spikes Award winner for Arkansas this year? He's 7-0. He's third all time in strikeouts. If he throws 14 in the next 2 games, he'll be the second in Arkansas list and would move to 8-0.
I don't watch the whole world of college baseball, mainly the SECs. Probably helps like a player like Tommy White's team is not doing very well at LSU. Why wouldn't Hagen be right there at the top of the list? He's made the semifinalist list. They just kind of pared it down.
About 45, I think, for the semifinalist list.
Yeah, so I mean, I expect him to be right there at the end with the way he is. You know, I know Arkansas lost as a series last weekend, but he won. Maybe not as dominant as he's been in his last 2 starts, but he's still very much in charge on those Friday night starts.
And definitely will be a part of this Lindsay and Associates Pro Hog update when we do it in the coming years.
Yep, maybe a year or two for we're talking about him in the pros, but he'll be there.
Now, let's talk to Tom Murphy on the Morning Rush.
And he joins us via the McLarty Daniel hotline. Tom is with Whole Hog Sports in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, we got plenty of basketball news to discuss, but I know you've been really focused on football lately, so we'll start there. Spring game reaction in just a sec, but your thoughts on the reports out there that Jacoby Criswell plans on entering the transfer portal?
Yeah, it was pretty evident that, Taylor Green started with the ones and stayed with the ones. And, you know, there's a certain level of execution he showed in spring. And it's harder to do it with the twos. You know, you have less experienced O-linemen, less experienced receivers and all that. But Taylor Green was just clearly ahead of Jacoby. You hate to see it as a home state kid from Morrilton. But, you know, those are the reports that he's planning to hit the portal. And, you know, I don't know what the destination would be for him. He had a few moments last year, the long run against Auburn. I think that set up a touchdown. And then he directed a touchdown drive or two in the Missouri game. So, you know, I wish him the best. Here's how they explain Taylen Green. He came in and just did all the right things, from how long he stayed studying video, how he led the players, what he did in mat drills. And he just stayed out front, and neither Jacoby or Malachi Singleton could get ahead of him.
Who's going to be the backup QB then, Tom? If Jacoby Criswell is leaving, and it really sounds like he is from multiple reports, are you putting your stock in KJ Jackson or Malachi Singleton?
Well, I think for this coming year, because when you get into camp, you're going to start narrowing the reps down. I mean, Taylen Green's reps are going to go up. But I think for this year, Malachi Singleton is the more obvious choice. Look, I talked to some folks who love KJ Jackson's arm. You know, they think he might have the best arm on that team. But you also saw a lot of freshman presence out there. You know, some decisions, there was a couple of plays that you knew were supposed to be kind of swing passes that he threw that were behind the line and a little off, and that's the kind of play that your back doesn't catch it, and all of a sudden it's a free-for-all on who recovers it, and it could be a scoop and score. And I point that out just to say that I think he's got great potential, but he just looked like a freshman a lot this spring. That's why it was good for him to be here for spring drills. His signaling, I think, is going to be very good. But I would say Singleton would have the lead for number two quarterback.
Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. What's your reporter's nose tell you about what's going on with Isaiah Gustaf and him entering the portal? And where does that leave Arkansas as far as depth when it comes to running back?
Well, I think he was close with Jimmy Smith, and as all these guys were. And, you know, I did a few stories over the last couple of years and how Jimmy Smith managed to keep that running back room together when it was Rocket and A.J. Green and Dubinion, and then they would add to it. But now it's kind of broken up some. Rocket transferred, A.J. Green transferred. We'll see him in the Oklahoma State game in week two. And Augustov, even though I really like his potential, I mean, I think he could do some fantastic things, he was number two, and they announced that JaQuindon Jackson and Dubinion were 1A and 1B, basically. You need three or four guys to get through at running back, I think, in the modern game. I love JaQuindon Jackson, his attitude, his toughness. He's the kind of guy who, Sam Pittman described this, you give him the ball on the six, and people hit him on the four, and he drags you for a couple yards. And then you do that twice, and you score a touchdown. And also, DeBinion's had just a fantastic attitude. I asked him about, you know, the offseason, a lot of dudes hit the portal, why not him? And he's like, hey man, I just wanted to show people I'm a Razorback. I'm not chasing the money. And so I'm not saying that that's what's happening with Augustov, but he was a third back. Yeah. And so I think on depth, you'll have Jackson and Dubinion, which is a really good 1-2 to enter the SEC with. And then you got Dominic Johnson, who's just been there. And then you got Braylon Russell, who's up and coming. So I think you can get through a season with those guys, and, you know, then there's a couple walk-ons and so on.
You know, I don't want to compare Bobby Petrino's offense too much to what happened here 15 years ago, but we do know he likes to get the ball to the running backs in a variety of ways. You're not just going to be back there to take handoffs. You'll receive passes. But the other big part is you've got to chip whoever's blitzing and protect the quarterback. But I think all of those things, you know, build your resume tape for the next level. So, I mean, I think as a running back, you'd have to be excited about the variety of ways you'll be utilized in a Bobby Petrino offense.
Well, ask Niall Davis and Ronnie Wingo and Dennis Johnson, Broderick Green, what it's like to be in a Bobby Petrino offensive running back. Those guys had some nice careers here. Niall went on to the NFL. You cannot play for Bobby Petrino if you don't do the blocking and the chipping. Mm-hmm. So that's going to improve from last year, where I think that got away from them a little bit. But a Bobby Petrino offense is simply this, and this is how he described it: feed the studs. Get the ball in the hands of guys who are going to get yards and first downs and touchdowns for you. And that will involve backs. The tight ends had a big spring. Isaiah Satania, as much as we thought there were going to be bubble screens and all these things for Satania, it did not play out in the offense last year, and it was befuddling. And every few weeks we'd ask, Sam Pittman about why it wasn't happening, and sometimes he'd just say, I don't know, that's what we practiced. And I think one time they said, there's been, some inconsistencies with catching. Well, Satania is a game-breaker type, and Bobby Petrino will get him the ball. And then you add in Broden and Armstrong and some other receivers. There's going to be playmakers on this offense.
Yeah, Sam Pittman was very complimentary of both Tyrone Broden and Armstrong, who were coming off family stuff and injuries prior to the spring game. Both had good touchdown catches, and hopefully we'll have a better 1-2 combo this season as we're talking with our buddy Tom Murphy via the McLarty Daniel Hotline, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, you mentioned Oklahoma State earlier with the A.J. Green connection. The game time the prior week has been moved up to Thursday night when Arkansas will take on Little Rock Pine Bluff. It was scheduled for August the 31st. Now it'll be August the 29th. I believe it's 6:30 on ESPNU. How much of a benefit is that for preparing for the Big 12 runner-up that following week in Stillwater?
Man, I think it's a massive benefit. You're playing a night game down there to start with. They've had some 3 p.m. games down there, I want to say, recently. Super hot. But a night game, if you're playing on a Saturday, they get back really late, and they're then kind of behind the curve for the next game. So in this case, you get back and you can really rest up Friday. You can get in a Saturday practice. So, you're at least a day or two ahead of Oklahoma State. And who knows, maybe if they can move their opener up. I'm not sure who they're against or anything. But I think it's just a massive benefit a lot of different ways because, you're basically traveling to that first game and then you're traveling to the second game. And the extra prep, night game, it's all pluses for Arkansas.
I was telling Ty yesterday, this game being on a Thursday, being in Little Rock, almost feels detached from the rest of the schedule. It almost feels like Oklahoma State has become the de facto season opener, at least from my feelings and standpoint. I know we'll air the game on the radio. We'll cover it for the paper and the websites and all that, Tom. We'll do our stuff. But this game, I think when we look back on it, it will almost, you'll have to remind yourself of where the season opener was.
Yeah, it will have a certain feel to it. And one thing I didn't mention was it's a Thursday game. So, how many people are going to get off work in time and make it and all that? So it might not be just a massive full house, but, that's the one downside. You're playing it on a Thursday in Little Rock, and your folks up here will have to travel down and,
Hey, you start your Labor Day weekend. You just get your Labor Day weekend going early. That's what you do.
That's the way I would look at it, yeah. But I think you're right. And they have to play better than they did last time against Pine Bluff. The starters scored 6 touchdowns in the first half. It was 42 points. And then the backups went in, and you could tell the second O-line was a big drop-off, and Malik Hornsby was running quarterback, and they scored 3 points in the second half of that game. And they need to be – I think they need to show their second unit – is more capable this time around against Pine Bluff.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.